For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be telling the story of Jesus' birth. And then our final Christmas Advent week together, we're going to be talking about, and then how did people react to that? So we're just going step by step. So today, I get to talk about why are we celebrating Christmas for a whole month? There are lots of things that we think are important that don't become holidays. There are lots of things that we think are life-changing that we don't observe for an extended amount of time. So that takes us to the backstory of Christmas. It takes us to the prophets, like Micah and Isaiah and Jeremiah. So I've been mulling this over this week. What is it that we're doing for a month leading up to Christmas? And so this week, I decorated the house for Christmas. And Marquette had on The Sound of Music. she loves that movie. But I haven't seen it as much as she has, and I haven't seen it in a really long time. But there's a scene in the movie that I didn't remember. It's a turning point where Julie Andrews, or Maria, has gone back to the Abbey. And the captain is engaged to the baroness, and the children are standing out on the porch or pavilion or whatever that giant thing is in front of their house, right? It's huge, big rock platform. They're standing out there alone, and it's really a sad part of the movie because, like, oh, all their hopes are dashed. You know, everything was so good for a second. But then they start singing the song that Maria taught them, which is supposed to make everything better. So it's a very kind of pathetic scene where they're kind of looking at each other and they're slowly singing raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. And they're very sad and somber while they're singing this song. And I'm watching this and I don't remember what's going to happen. So I'm watching this, is like, this is terrible. Like, how is this going to get, no, not like the movie is terrible, but this like moment, I'm like, how is this going to get any better? Yeah. And it was just like this moment of like, gosh, that's sad. And it's at that point where prophets take the center stage, right? That's the role of the prophets in the Old Testament. If a prophet is center stage, it's not a good time in the nation of Israel. Either they are in really big trouble because they have been neglecting the poor or acting unjustly, or they have been overtaken by an enemy and they're being oppressed and they're being treated badly. And it's at these moments that the prophets are speaking and saying things like, keep paying attention. The words that the prophets use over and over again are remember and look. So they say remember because they're pointing back to, like, remember when God did this in the past. And then they're saying, look, like, open your eyes, look around, pay attention. God is going to do something. So prophets, it's not about telling the future, like some kind of, like, crystal ball. It's more about knowing patterns, right? So if you think about the 2008 financial housing crisis, there were very smart people who were looking at numbers, and they're like, man, something bad's going to happen. And they weren't predicting the future, like, magically. They're like, oh, when this happens, this happens. Like, they can see that. And even though we can't see it or we don't understand it, like, it's this cause and effect. And they have their eyes open to see what's going on. So prophets are more like that. They are telling you, this is how this is going to play out. This is God's answer to injustice, because that's the way that God is. So they are speaking to their own time, and they are speaking into these dark moments. And they say things like, every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill will be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level. The rough places will become plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all his people shall see it together. It's not because they're predicting the future. They're saying that because that's how God is. They're speaking into a difficult moment, and they're saying, we know this is going to happen because we're paying attention to God's actions in this moment. So all throughout the Bible, people are drawing quotes from the prophets to say the same thing. They quote Isaiah in order to say, remember what God did in the past and pay attention to what God is doing now. So where are we in this moment in the Christmas story? The people of Israel are under the rule of an empire, and then another empire, and another empire. And then there are no major prophets, there are no kings. Maria has gone back to the abbey. The captain's engaged. It's not going well. It's not looking good. But it's at that moment where expectation is important. We're supposed to remember to pay attention because this is when God shows up, in the least expected moment. So when the gospel writers are writing the story of Jesus and his birth, this is how they describe the scene. It was a dark and gloomy night. It was a troubling, lowly town. And they pull from the prophets, and they're saying, in these dark moments, God breaks in a way that we don't expect. So, Advent is all about cultivating this expectation, because having an expectation actually changes our perspective on the world. We need prophets, or we need people, or events, or holidays that remind us to pay attention to what's going on right now. Because I found out that Harvard did a study where they had a bunch of people download an app on their phone, and then the app would randomly ding. And when it dinged, you had to input what you were doing and what you were thinking about. And so over the course of time, they were able to track how often what the person was doing and what they were thinking about were the same. Right? And anyone, any guesses? It's like 50% of the time, they were not paying attention to what they were doing. We just, our minds wander. Most of that time was spent thinking, I think of that 50%, I think like 30 of it was thinking about the past. And then some of it was thinking about the future. But only 10% of that was thinking positive thoughts, like daydreaming. So most of the time when our minds are wandering, we're stewing, or we're imagining the bad things that could go wrong, or the things that have happened in the past. We are not good at paying attention. So not only did this study show that we're not paying attention as often as we should. Like, think about what we do during the day. We should be paying attention. We're driving, right? We're working. People are talking to us, right? Like, 50% of that time, we're not paying attention. So one thing this study also showed was not just that we're not paying attention, but that our attention and where our attention is affects our level of happiness. Of all of the people that they surveyed, the people that were the happiest, and it was not the happy daydreaming people. The happiest people were the people who were most able to concentrate on one thing at a time, who were most able to think about the thing that they were doing at that moment. One of my favorite poems is called "I Go Among the Trees and Sit Still." In that poem, there's a line that I think about a lot, and it's talking about watching the animals. And it says, the animals who do not tax their lives with forethoughts of grief. Think like taxing yourself with grief that might or might not happen. We are celebrating Christmas, Advent, for this extended amount of time to practice paying attention, even when it seems like nothing's going on. We are waiting expectantly. So if you're not a science person or a poem person, how about a Beatles fan? So in multiple interviews, Paul McCartney talks about this story that kind of gave him his life motto. And they were on the road, this is like the 60s, they're on the road to London, and it was a snowstorm, and their bus goes down an embankment, and they can't get the bus to come back up, so they're just stuck out there. You know, they can't call for help or anything. So they're just standing around, and he can't remember who, but one of them said, "Something will happen." And that was, to him, was just like the best thing. Yeah, something will happen. Something's going to happen. And sure enough, they got a ride. But expecting that something is going to happen causes us to pay attention and wait for it. Expecting something also changes our reaction. So think about this. All right, I'm going to tell you. Someone today is going to talk to you, and you should listen to them. Right? Just because I told you that. Now, at some point today, someone's going to talk to you, and you're going to think, oh, is this the time? Is this it? Is this the moment I should be listening to them? And it might change how you take time to hear that person. Right? Or tomorrow morning, something different's going to happen and you should pay attention, right? Like practicing this anticipation of like, oh, when's it going to happen? When's that thing that we're all waiting on going to happen? It causes us to be more present in the moment. The cat's coming to church. It allows us to be present in the moment, present with those people, and to make the choices that we want to make. I had a moment this week when I was kind of flustered, I was kind of in a hurry, and someone came up to talk to me, and they asked me a question, and I answered their question, and then I went about my day. And like almost immediately I was like, I think there was more to that. I think I should have like asked them some more questions about what was going on. But it was over. And like I've had that happen before, where it's, oh man, I wish like 30 seconds ago I would have thought, had like one more second to think. You know, so it's that being ready of like something's going to happen and I should be ready for it. That's what Advent is about. So this expectation also is a good spiritual practice for our life. It's not just about believing that one story happened a long time ago. It's about joining in this long line of people who have believed that God shows up in unexpected ways and unexpected places. So I've been talking about paying attention and how that's not our natural state. We don't naturally observe Advent, but we can practice. So think about, the best thing I can think about is how we try and get a six-month-old to look at something, right? We're like, look over here, look over here. We like are trying to teach her what things are neat and what things to pay attention to. I actually had to do this with Marquette this week too. So I decorated the house for Christmas, and I love to do that. But Marquette didn't seem as overjoyed about it as I was. And so I went to every item and I was like, did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see this? Just like, and then so I'd done it at night. And then the next morning when I got the baby up, I walked her downstairs and she didn't even notice the decorations. But I took her over and I'm like, look, and I like touched the garland, you know. She doesn't care. But we're trying to teach children, we're trying to teach ourselves how to pay attention to the beautiful things. One thing I can think about is, like, have you ever taken a child or seen a parent take a child to a fireworks show for the very first time? It's like, look over there. There's nothing. But wait. You know? And then they like look away and they miss it. It's like, no, no, don't look away. It's going to happen. It's going to be right over there. We have to practice. So anytime that we do these God story Sundays, or anytime that we give little examples in church, this is what we're doing. We're practicing, like, hey, here's a little thing that you may not have noticed that's really neat. It's God breaking into the world in a way that we can pay attention to. So back to the Sound of Music. So do I have to tell you what happens? Marquette can sing it for you. So the children are alone, and they're singing this song that's really kind of pathetic in the moment. But then Maria comes running in with her suitcases, and it becomes this multi-harmony, and they're just like all overjoyed, and it's just beautiful. But that's not, like, I didn't remember that that's how that ended, and I was like, how is this song going to end well? It's so awkward and sad. But that movie drew me to expect that it had to be different. Right? This can't end this way. And so Advent is drawing our attention toward where is God hoping to break in? What little practice can you have in your day that reminds you to pay attention? Let's pray.